up the night.
That's what happens when you press left and right. So I'm going to click through it. I'm going to click through it. Now it should work. Now, there we go. All right. So I'm doing this on my own. So this is just me presenting something that I'm involved with, but not a core member of. So just bear that in mind when you take this information. So take this information with a grain of salt. I'm not involved in decision making for the Pipers or anything. It's just my experience that I'm willing to share this moment here. So I'm going to talk about a little introduction, and then we're going to go through separate topics regarding where the differences between libhybris-based Android GNU/Linux adaptations versus mainline Linux phones, where the differences are. And we're going to go through a list of hardware enablement things during this little talk. So let's start off with a little graphic here that could ring a bell to many people out there. This is what Halyum.org showcases as basically the way that we structure an operating system so that it could reuse Android drivers, Android services, HALs, etc., usually either using the Truth or like C, with Android in it running on that one, on that container, in that container, and libhybris, a library that is out there, which is also done by the person who happens to sit in here. This thing is basically, if I just can do this, yeah. This basically the Android library loader / linker built as a glibc library. There are different linkers available, which means different Android generations are able to have their libraries loaded on a GNU/Linux system. There are also bits and pieces which are just the C++ code from Android, with some C linkage and the API guarantees, quote unquote, so that different multimedia situations can be handled, so that the camera can be handled, etc. There's also, those are the REPA libraries also for various other tasks, and they require some Android services, most importantly the property service, running in this container. So it needs a somewhat fully running Android, minus the Java bits, usually. And this can run in a Truth, this can run in like C container, and it also needs some symlinks for compatibility so that Android code actually is guaranteed to find libraries in a particular path. So /system/vendor/ODM and some others for firmware blobs and whatnot. Runtime expectations. So we do have Android adaptations, which nowadays very much look like something that, I don't know, a new herd would like to dream of. There are so many user-based services handling the hardware that there is one for Census itself. There is one for various other, so there are different HAL services running per, let's call it, purpose. And this also needs GNU/Linux side integration services, so something that allows to talk about EBUS, desktop integration services, and also very important, vendor blobs are not really redistributable most of the time, so we can't do much of that, use much of that in any other way. EGL as the graphics abstraction, that I'm going to talk about various like hardware integration things, like for example, how do graphics differ on a libhybris-based Linux distribution versus mainline? So remember, EGL, this is an abstraction for windowing protocols, buffer passing. This basically allows OpenGL to work with windowing protocols. There are implementations for Mesa, for NVIDIA, and also for libhybris. And libhybris supports Wayland natively because it actually uses the Wayland client side and puts a Wayland listener there so that it can do the buffer passing for an unmodified GNU/Linux application binary. The only difference there is the libegl library, which does hook a listener into that whole Wayland socket thing. And this is the additional protocol that it requires for doing this. So it's a separate XML that needs to be generated into application code, and then you can use this protocol with any like sort of environment. There is GBM, which is sort of like this generic buffer manager, or they call it the generic buffer manager. I think there was a talk last year about GBM here, and not in this room, but at Fosdem. And what it does is it provides basically the EGL platform to KMS applications. Now, kernel mode setting applications basically give full screen access to the graphics hardware, and this is what a GNOME shell usually uses, or some Fosh probably, I don't know, that it uses to display things directly on a DRM native Linux graphics device. This differs from Hardware Composer, which we use in those libhybris devices. Hardware Composer is used to be a library. Now it's its own service, its own user space, HAL again. And it's managing the display, hot plug, etc. And compositors need to talk to it in order to provide pixels on the screen, usually. Now, we have something coming up which basically allows sidestepping that, just as a little basic information here. DMA buffs usually is usually a reference to a graphics buff in VRAM. It is a single file descriptor with various different formats that can be passed, and it allows zero copy passing of buffers and use of those buffers. Now we have Grelock, on the other hand, with the Android sort of legacy that we live with from this type of environment. It's a data structure around graphics buffers, and it contains potentially more than one file descriptor. So it's adding some additional data there, and it's also got another array of integers for whatever purpose they might need to be passed. And those are also nowadays backed by DMA buffs, but they don't translate over one-to-one in many cases. So what we do have as an upcoming idea, or that I came up with, and others have also worked on similar things where we can share those code pieces, is simulating or integrating DMA buffs, where we either create a memfd with some identification, or we actually use the DMA buff that is provided by the Grelock buffer. And it allows using that as a GBM device then, as a GBM platform, using a GBM backend, similar to what NVIDIA does on their end. This would allow bypassing Hardware Composer, but it's not there yet. I would like to talk with a few people who might be interested in that topic so that we can get this ball rolling a little quicker. Now, camera. One big thing that differs very much between mainline and those Android-based devices usually is the camera. And that is, for example, with mainline, you very often have a video for Linux 2 device. Might not, may of course, but may not. But on Android, it's completely uncertain what you're dealing with. They're using their own abstraction, they're using their own APIs, and there are also compatibility layers, as they're called in libhybris speak, that allow to access the camera and making it usable in the system. There are two solutions out there. There's the one in the libhybris repository at the moment, camera compat layer. And there's also one used by Sailfish OS, Droid Media. I'm not sure what, I have a rough idea what could be the reason why this is not integrated or why the things are split like that. But yeah, that's just it. So usually what you do on those Android-based devices is you get a GL texture external OES created by the camera service, which allows to be imported into OpenGL so that you can show the viewfinder using an OpenGL texture that you just get from the camera service. This can also be used to basically do a little hack, which makes it look like it's mapping the buffer. And that is, mapping it to CPU accessible memory. And that is creating a Grelock buffer first, then use GL and EGL functions to copy the contents into this Grelock buffer. So the texture contents into this Grelock buffer, the copy happens on the GPU, not on the CPU. And then locking this Grelock buffer allows reading this from a character pointer and just reading for the length or the size of this buffer, or writing to this buffer. But yeah, this is one way of achieving this from an application developer's perspective. There's also multimedia with mainline using VA API, VDPAU, and on Android you have OMX and Codec too. I think I'm very short on time right now, so I'm going to breeze through those. Multimedia, similar to the camera, there are two solutions out there, and they basically allow using the OMX and Codec 2 services nowadays through LibStageFright. And there are also some ideas I've heard about using the NDK API for this in the future, maybe, potentially. And there are integrations into GStreamer so that applications can actually make use of this, so that they can do hardware-accelerated video decoding and also encoding easily with applications that already exist. And also very important, mainline typically does in-process video encoding and decoding. On Android, it's out of process because the OMX service and the Codec 2 service handle the multimedia functionality on their own, and you just request them, please give me the decoded buffer for this chunk of H.264, for example. Now, sensors, I'm going to breeze through this really quick. Sensors, usually either kernel devices or something that IIO sensor proxy can just use. And on Android, it's really, again, abstracted away differently. You use binary IPC to communicate with user space health. And there are some things like SensorFW which integrate those using plugins, so that this can be the abstraction between a mainline thing and an Android thing should there be a need to abstract this. Location, GPSD is one way for the mainline folks. Usually I'm not sure actually what is used nowadays in a, for example, post-market OS type of a scenario. What is, may I just ask what's used there for, excuse me? Modem manager is also used for GPS. Yes, I should have put this into the slides. Okay, yeah, but Android, again, vendor-specific implementations running in the user space and using IPC to communicate. NFC, similar thing, there's NearD. And also for Sailfish OS, there's this NFCD, which also has a DBus API that looks like NearD, so that NearD expecting applications can work seamlessly. And it, again, talks to Android side vendor daemons. And yeah, thank you. Are there questions? Yes. Oh, there's one.
Speak loudly, please.
Maybe you can repeat it. Yeah. How far is Ubuntu Touch with mainline efforts?
So the question is, how far is Ubuntu Touch with mainline efforts? And the answer to this is, with the PDK, we have one mainline target that we use ourselves in the development team. I wouldn't call it an officially supported thing, but it's being used, and if something breaks there, it's getting fixes. So if you want to take a look at something that runs Ubuntu Touch mainline, then the PDK image off of Ubiport CI should do the job for an initial glimpse, right? Okay.
So this is mostly related to video decoding.
Okay. You might have looked at my private you might have looked at my little private list of projects that I wanted to plan on that have not started yet. The question is about VA API and into the LibHybris systems and bridging the gap between VA API and Hybris devices, right? So I've not tinkered with anything. I do have plans though, with a VA API plugin, sort of like the Intel driver, and just ripping out everything that is specific to Intel things, and using the same interface to just implement something that could work somehow. I've not taken that deep look into the topic, but it could work that you get VA API playing along with OMX, for example, in some way, shape, or form.
I think there is such a project that implements VA API on top of the NVDEC.
Uh-huh.
For NVIDIA, that might be another.
Could be a starting point. Yeah, sure.
Any other questions?
All right. Thanks a lot.